In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a hundred hounds. Cries of the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You all they can't see, babe, just know where to go. It's the creature.
Welcome to another great episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And today we are talking about Soul Eaters, coming to the end of the podcast as we are pretty much hit our entire length of like what we can do for supernatural creatures and special episodes and things like that. We're not a supernatural review podcast. There's 15 years of this show. We do not have 15 years worth of episodes to cover. So this podcast will come to an end probably by the end of the year. So, but we appreciate you tuning in and checking us out for the time that we've had the gambit of running it. Don't forget there's a Supernatural comic book series, which is starting up soon, which is really cool. Mel's got movie projects as well. Aren't you in something coming up, Mel?
Always. I have several coming up. I'm going to be doing a... I'm a tavern owner in a vampire musical in a couple of months.
Do you sing and dance and die?
I believe so. Something like that. I haven't fully read the script yet. I just got it this week.
Do you dress as a tavern wench?
Yes. I have the costume sitting right beside me, actually.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Tavern wench, cleavage and all.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. So set back in ye old times or like modern day tavern wench?
In the 1940s, actually, in France.
Oh, oui, oui. Do you have to learn French?
Oh, no. There's no way. I can't even do a French accent.
Can you sing?
Yeah, I have a single out.
You're a tavern wench in France, but you can't even get an accent?
We'll see how it goes.
You got to get a dialect coach and learn some French or watch a video online to learn how to speak French.
I have done several projects where I was necessary to do a French accent, and I cannot, even working with a dialect coach. That is just one that I cannot do.
What if you, would you want to connect with somebody who's learning French right now through a special app that's helping her learn how to speak French? She does French lessons once a day for 5 minutes.
I don't think it would help me if a dialect coach cannot.
Well, let's see if your research about supernatural creatures is better than your French.
Let's hope so. Goodness. Today we are going to be going over the episode called Safe House. It is the 16th episode of season 11, and it aired on March 23rd, 2016. The summary is as follows. A dangerous creature is accidentally released into an old house, attacking a mother and her child, leaving them both in a coma. Sam and Dean learn that Bobby and Rufus once tracked the same entity so that the Winchesters need to look into the past and come up with a plan to catch the monster before anyone dies.
What movies called Safe House, the movie Safe House, what were the two actors in the film? And you can't look it up online.
Oh gosh, I have no idea. That Safe House reminds me of the Safe House in Left 4 Dead, the video game.
Deadpool's Ryan Reynolds. And Black Panther 3 future star Denzel Washington.
Fascinating.
Pretty cool.
It sounds good to me.
I've seen it once. I don't remember much about it. I do remember being all right. It's not a Ryan Reynolds ha 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 movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I think this is like an early one in his career, not like super duper early, not Van Wilder early, but like before Deadpool. Again, I remember his role being very serious, but it wasn't like the Hitman's Bodyguard, you know? That's more like on the jokey Deadpool sized.
Yeah.
So what do we have about Soul Eaters?
Well, to put simply, at least when it comes to supernatural, Soul eaters are the ancient spiritual entities that live in another dimension, and they feed on human souls.
They were what? Sorry, say that last part again.
They live in another dimension called the nest, and they feed on human souls.
The nest?
Yeah, that's their pocket dimension.
That's a fascinating new one.
Yeah, they're humanoid with a long black cloak, and they have a distorted face and black empty eyes. They exist outside of our space and time, and they can drag our souls into their world. And unlike some lore with similar like creatures, the human body in this, at least in reference to Supernatural, the body just gives up when the soul is taken, as if it's like an organ, a vital organ or something. According to conventional lore, soul eaters can't be killed. A Celtic sigil could trap one, but they were otherwise thought to be invulnerable from harm. The men of letters, in reference to Supernatural, obviously, found a sigil that can kill a soul eater if it was painted in the soul eater's nest, the house the soul eater was inhabited.
Anyone unfamiliar with what a pocket dimension is, it's kind of a dimension that's just over there. It's not an alternate universe. It's not a part of the multiverse. I know that's really popular off and on. It's kind of like if you saw Superman recently by James Gunn, Lex Luthor created a pocket dimension where he was housing all of the criminals he felt were people he felt were criminals and had or ex-girlfriends, as one person was, and Superman eventually, as well as Metamorpho. Superman is put in the pocket dimension when the evidence is found that the Kryptonians were planning for Superman to come there and like breed the hell out of their women. That is how Superman gets
Fascinating.
canceled in the movie.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think to explain a pocket dimension. It's it's just sort of like tucked
A
in
bubble
there.
universe. Yeah, it's a bubble universe. It's a concept of inflation theory proposed by Alan Girth. It's just a universe that's like over there. It's a small little space that's created through a wormhole, and it's not any place in particular. I guess you can construct something in it. Pocket dimensions have been used in comic books a lot as a way of just not creating an alternate timeline or alternate universe. It's just like a little space where things can live peacefully, kind of like
You've
one of the
seen
best uses of a pocket dimension, I thought, was in the Thor series by Donny Cates. It was revealed a long time ago. Odin bonded Thor with a guy named Donald Blake as punishment, and Donald Blake had to hit his hammer on the ground to become Thor. His walking stick. He was a crippled with a walking stick. He was a doctor. This is how we get to know Jane Foster. And over time, Thor stopped becoming Donald Blake. He the curse was lifted by Loki. I mean, Loki, sorry, Odin per se. I'm not exactly sure when this falls into the fit place or whatever, but the Donald Blake personification still existed. It was matter that was created, and he was a person. And he was trapped in this pocket dimension for a long time. He eventually went insane, and started killing Norse gods, and eventually killed the serpent. Became this giant clusterfuck of a story in Thor, and it was incredibly well written. And the last we saw Donald Blake, he was being tortured in the bowels of Tartarus by Loki, as ordered by Thor, by having snake venom dripped into his eyes.
Oh my God.
Which is what happened to Loki, by the way, in the original Norse mythology. If you read it, that's what happened to Loki.
Wow.
Yeah. This,
I mean,
yeah.
not to piss those guys off.
Yeah. Loki has a new title these days. He's no longer the god of mischief. He lies. He's got a like a new title like associated with him by Thor. This is when Thor is now like the Allfather. So Thor is basically in charge of the Norse gods and such, Asgard.
Gotcha.
Yeah, dark stuff. Anyway, so going on with the Soul Eaters.
Sorry, one more question. You've seen Van Helsing. Would you consider when they go through the mirror to the mountains to find Dracula, would that be a pocket dimension, or is that just
Possibly, if it's just that one area, then yeah, maybe. If it's just the, they don't really go anywhere else in there, then it's not like they travel the world. It's just where Dracula's hanging out. That could possibly
Yeah.
be a pocket dimension, but that could also be like a shimmer, kind of like a camouflage to where Dracula lives, so he has Transylvania out of view from the rest of the world. It's still on their plane. It's just nobody else can get there without a magic spell.
Okay, I was curious about that.
Yeah, I don't 100% believe that's a pocket dimension, but
I was just wondering. So, soul eaters can mimic some characteristics of ghosts, causing cold spots, emitting EMF, and causing lights to flicker, yada yada. But on three occasions, hunters have assumed they were dealing with ghosts when they were actually dealing with soul eaters, which I imagine can be really dangerous. If soul eaters are trapped, its victims are trapped with it. Killing a soul, however, would free the souls of the victims, allowing the dead to move on and the still living to return to their bodies. Have we seen in Supernatural anybody who's been taken by a soul eater who gets their soul back?
I mean, this is the first time I remember seeing Soul Eater, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, Sam did, but that's like whatever. That was like a plot of the show, but no, I can't really think
Oh,
of anybody else.
that's
Oh wait,
fascinating too.
what about original Nick, the guy who's Lucifer and body he inhabited?
What did happen to him?
He was a
He
psychopath.
just,
He ended up being a
that
really
brings up
bad
a
person.
that brings up such a fascinating question. So if in Supernatural a soul eater eats your soul and takes your soul, was Sam only able to exist without a soul because his soul wasn't digested? It was just existing somewhere else? Is this a plot hole? Non-supernatural. Here's a fascinating tidbit. Since a soul eater's nest exists outside of time and space, it's possible for people from different time periods to interact within their nest.
Okay.
Here's some trivia. If a soul eater does more to a person than steal their soul, their body cannot function afterwards. Bobby stated that a victim's body withers and dies without the soul inside of it, instead of continuing to function like Sam did after he lost his soul. While possessed by a soul eater, a human's eyes will resemble a white-eyed demon. A soul eater is similar to SCP-106, an elderly humanoid, in that they can both create their own pocket dimensions and is thought to be invulnerable.
They end up killing the
So,
Soul Eater in the episode, so it's not too invulnerable. There's always a way to kill these things.
right. So the folklore where soul eaters come from is African. Notably, the Hausa people of Nigeria and Niger. Belief in soul eaters is related to traditional folk beliefs like witchcraft and zombies instead of like sci-fi and alien, not aliens. I wouldn't relate them to aliens, but it's very science fiction with the pocket dimensions and all that in the Supernatural show, where African folklore is more like witches, and also in African folklore they believe that the person would die if their spirit was consumed.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
There are other mythological examples from like ancient Egypt. There's a hybrid creature that devours the hearts of sinful souls. And in Greek, there's a figure who devoured his own soul in a metaphorical sense. But aside from specifically African folklore, there's not a whole lot.
And some people believe that your soul is devoured when you get married.
Really?
At least that's what Al Bundy would always say on the Married with Children. He'd always make comments that Meg has eat, that that Peg has eaten his soul.
Soul eaters is are men in African folklore that have been cursed by witches, and they have to continue to eat the souls of humans to continue to live. After the soul eater devours a victim's soul, the victim disappears like dust. The belief survived into African American folklore in the United States and Caribbean. Related beliefs can be found in other traditional African cultures like the Fulbe and the Suru. The cultures mix outside of Africa too, into Mount Hagen of the Papua New Guinea. There's also mention in Mayan cultures, but I couldn't find anything when I looked up specifically Mayan culture soul eaters. There are traditional religions like obviously Egypt and Chickasaw, Choctaw, and Natchez that contain figures that translated directly into English refer to soul eaters, but they believe that's like a spiritual belief and not anything solid. Probably such as losing your soul once you, or having your soul consumed once you get married.
The Soul Eater also had a unique look too, I thought. It's got the shroud. I mean, they made it look like it was in the book, which is nice because a lot of times they don't seem to want to do anything with a budget for what they need for the monster, and they're just a person wearing clothes, and it's just annoying and also looks awful. But at least the Soul Eater in this episode actually had the same kind of like look that they had in their, Men of Letters book. It was also great to call back to a Rufus and Bobby episode. Do I think Rufus and Bobby could have gotten their own show? No, because it would have failed after one season. I just don't think there's a fandom there to watch two old guys bickering at each other carry a show for longer than a single season. If they wanted to do a mini series, sure, that would have been fine. I just don't think Rufus and Bobby could have carried their own show.
I would have loved a mini series of them though.
A
Not
mini
like a
series would have been
whole
fine.
series.
No, I mean, the entire series, they would have, like, if they're banking on it getting picked up for multiple seasons, no, you're not going to happen. Wayward Girls couldn't even get past a pilot. So it's like, and honestly, to be 100% honest, you would never have gotten the Supernatural spinoffs past a single season like you think you would have. The cult, like a Supernatural Western or the all-girl show Supernatural, that would have been trashed in social media. It just would never have gotten that far.
I think if they would have gone a different direction than what they did, they might have been okay. But they introduced a lot of new characters and a lot, at the same time, and then did a whole lot of character development in a single episode, which, like, okay, that's kind of what you do in a pilot. But it's really hard to take an existing show in the very middle of the entire series and to make a pilot for an entirely different show. It was very complicated.
Have you ever played a Soul Eater on a movie?
I have not. Have you seen the Harry Potter series?
For the most part, yes.
Would you consider Dementors soul eaters?
I don't know who they are. I'm not that big of a Harry Potter fan to know anything about the characters or the creatures.
It's a major plot point from the fourth movie slash
Okay,
book.
yeah, I've seen it one time and I never read the books.
They say in Harry Potter that if you escape the wizard prison Azkaban, the Dementors, which are the creatures that guard that prison, will come after you and suck your soul out. And everybody that's at the prison just lives in constant fear of these things. And they are also, they look very Grim Reaper-ish. They float around, they're very skeletal, and they're completely covered in black shroud.
I mean, that could be said for like also the Nosgoth of Lord of the Rings, right?
That sounds, sooner if I see it on them. Yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah. That description, it pretty much represents a lot of things. There's also an anime and manga series called Soul Eater. It's just a manga series. There's no anime called Soul Eater.
That came up a lot. It looks interesting. So there is a goddess in Egyptian mythology called Amut, which directly translates to devourer of souls. And this goddess has the head of a crocodile, the torso of a leopard, and the hindquarters of a hippo. And she sits beneath the scales of justice in the hall of truth in the afterlife and devours the hearts of those souls that were not justified by Osiris. It seems interesting that some cultures believe that devouring a heart is the same as devouring a soul. I find that interesting.
Do we have any more information about soul eaters?
Not too much. Their powers and abilities are soul consumption, possession, electromagnetic interference, thermokinesis. They are vulnerable to the Celtic trapping sigil and the soul eater killing sigil. And that is all the notes that I have.
If you want to join us over on the Supernatural group, you can. And we are on our individual Twitters or X. I'm on Blue Sky as well. Mel, are you on Blue Sky?
I am, but I haven't looked at it in months.
Also on Facebook, you can find me at Radio of Horror and Mel Heflin over on her page. And like I said, on Twitter as well.
I'm at Mel Heflin across the web. Easy to find.
And we'll be back with another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio of Horror Network. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure you rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon Music, or wherever you happen to find our podcast. Please leave a rating. That would be fantastic. Leave some comments in the group. And thank you, everyone, again.
In the shadows, you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see, they don't just know where to go. It's the creature.